blood in this room is quite overwhelming. Can I suggest we all move outside into the afternoon sunshine before I am overcome by the smell?
Ryan had a vision of an elegant snake coiled on a warm stone when the man talked. But his words had an immediate effect on the villagers. Chairs tumbled over again as they almost fought to get out of the butcher's back room, pushing and jostling. Ryan sat where he was, still holding Christie's hand.
Cut out the panic! Door's plenty wide enough for everyone to get out safe and unhurt. Now calm down and shut the noise, all right?
Well said, Mr. Dix. My family sometimes puzzles at the way good, honest, decent, sensible folks are moved to behave like headless chickens. It is a puzzle wrapped in a mystery.
Shrouded in an enigma. You left that part out.
Indeed I did, Dr. Tanner. And you were right to reproach me for it.
Wasn't a reproach, young man. Much more of a small jog to your memory for quotations.
Well, I stand corrected, Doctor. It is a rare experience for any member of the family to be corrected.
Ryan wasn't sure if Doc recognized the cold anger that lay behind the gentle words, but to his heightened senses, it sounded like the crack of a lash across his face.
Who's left?
All of us. Ford and Winthrop and Cornelius.
And Mr. Winthrop will be leaving to join the rest of his flock, Miss Rawl.
Yeah, I'm on my way. Stayed behind in case you wanted... I thought you might need me to... Nobody to be picked for today, though. Not time, huh?
For pity's sake, Mr. Winthrop. You must allow your brain to function before you operate your mouth. Think before you speak, man.
Sorry, Mr. Cornelius. Sorry about that. I'm going.
I assume that you're staying at that wretched flop house, the Banbury. An inhospitable abscess on the face of the veil.
Yeah, we're staying there. It's the only game in town.
Then you shall be the guests of the Cornelius family. Outlanders are rare as hen's teeth in this place.
They check in, but they don't never check out. Like they used to say about an insect trap called a roach motel.
An amusing comment, Dr. Wyeth. Your knowledge of pre-doc Deathlands is unusual. Other members of the family might be fascinated to talk with you. Now, Mr. Ford, about your film show that I so rudely interrupted.
No, it doesn't matter. It seemed like my ghosty horror movie worked better than I thought it would.
Ah, fools.
How long has your family been the Barons around here?
Barons? Yes, others have called us that, Mr. Dix. We never see ourselves in that role. We have always been here. We do not rule as barons or kings rule. We guide the people. We teach them and show them how best to serve themselves. And also serve us. That is how the family operates, Mr. Dix.
I believe that's called being a benevolent despot. Not many made that work through history. Catherine the Great and Elizabeth of England. And now there's the Cornelius family.
Jack?
Ryan waited, locked in his blindness, wondering what in the hell was happening. He sensed discomfort, but nobody was speaking or moving.
No, we look alike, but not family.
We had been told of you, Jack. Hair like snowy silk. Face as pale as the finest porcelain. Eyes like the embers that smolder in a dying fire. How can it be that you are not one of us?
Because no, not family like you. I'm just me. Not you, not like you.
Come to our house on the bluffs above the river to the east. Ask anyone for directions. I can safely say that every living soul in the ville knows where our house is. Come for an evening meal. We can find rooms for y'all. I will expect you at 6, just as the sun begins to sleep and Mistress Moon awakens herself.
I wouldn't care to meet him in a dark alley behind a pest hole gaudy. Or any other time and place, come to that.
Just because he has white hair and skin, he thinks I'm like him. Shit. I wouldn't lick blood like that. Not me. No.
Lick blood? What did I miss?
By the three Kennedys. I thought for a second or two that blindness can have its advantages, my old and dear friend. The albino fellow was standing near a slaughtered calf when he brushed against it, getting a large smear or gobbet of congealing gore on his sleeve. Most men would have looked for a way of cleaning themselves. Not Master Cornelius. He lowered his head like a heifer at a salt lick and lapped the blood from his coat as if it were finest nectar.
You should have seen the expression on his face. It was like the cat who got himself the cream.
He stooped and ran finger and pool of blood on the floor and offered it to me.
You sure get some strange barons around Deathlands.
He claims they aren't barons, though you could have fooled me. The way he spoke, not stupid. I felt he had a blazing intelligence operating beneath that Joe Cool mask.
Let's get out of here. The stench of blood is turning my stomach.
Outside, Ryan took a number of deep breaths, cleaning his lungs of the blood taint, and shook his head to try to clear the odd muzziness that he felt.
Has that snowbird flown back to his nest?
No, Mr. Cawdor, he has not. He has remained here to suggest to Mr. Johannes Ford that he might like to take a little film while he is here of my friends of the Ville, before they all scatter back to their nests.
No offense meant.
And none taken. Mr. Ford?
A sure thing. Only take a few minutes to set up the camera. Out here?
In the street? Why not? I shall be the first member of the family for many long years to be filmed.
I can prepare it tonight if I can bring the wag up to your house.
But of course, Mr. Ford, I am sure some of the other members of the family will be interested in what you do. We did not know that any such machinery still existed in Deathlands. It is of special concern to us, I assure you. Now, let us to this movie-making.
Winthrop had some trouble persuading his people to pose for Ford's German-made camera. The buckskin-clad man set it on an aluminum tripod, peering through his viewfinder, gesturing for the Villefolk to get closer together.
I want to get you all in! No, don't worry about it! You all look scared to death! This won't be a frightening film. Be the same as the other Ville films I showed you. Just get in an orderly couple of lines. Would Mr. Cornelius want to be in it?
Yes, Mr. Cornelius would very much like to be in it, as you put it. I shall place myself right in the middle, with Mr. Winthrop on my right hand, as befits the right-hand man. And Miss Simpkins on my left, as befits the oldest inhabitant of the Ville of Brampton.
It ain't no benefit, as well you know. To everything there's a season, Cornelius, and that means a time to be born, and a time to die. Just wish you and the family would recall that now and again.
My dear Zenobia, I may call you by that name since we have known each other for all your life. For all my life, I meant to say. It would be a sorry mistake to imagine that age alone was a reason for preserving life in that shrunken heart and those frail, withered lungs.
Don't tell the other members of the family that I spoke out of turn, Eric. Please.
The man nodded, and the subject was dropped. Despite his objections, Ryan was placed in the front row toward the left, at the center of his companions. His face turned to where he believed the camera to be.
Even if I could see, I wouldn't have wanted this.
When your sight returns, you'll be pleased we made you do it. Johannes will keep a copy for us, and we can watch it in a few days.
Is he getting paid by the Ville for this?
Yeah. One of his horses is lame, and he'll get a fresh draft animal for nothing.
Good deal.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Your best smiles now.
Ford took a static shot of the group, then panned across the faces in close-up.
Thank you!
The crowd, looking relieved to be done, scurried to their respective homes.
Those were odd little rinky-dinky sunglasses Cornelius was wearing.
Yeah, square rims, just like Vincent Price wore in... What was it called? In Tomb of Lygia, wasn't it? Saw it in a student film festival of movies by that director.
Roger Corman, the unchallenged maestro of the cheapy quickie. I've read a great deal about his works.
I think that was it. I guess his eyes must suffer in sunlight. Elric, I mean. Yours do too, don't they, Jack, sometimes?
Not on a day like this. His worse than mine.
The weather had become humid and overcast again. Ryan could feel a trickle of sweat running down between his shoulder blades.